Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wild Horse and Burro Radio, an educational outreach program of Wild Horse Freedom Federation. We encourage you to call in with any questions or comments you may have during the second half hour of the show. You just dial area code 917-388-4520, then press 1. Our guests tonight are Carol Walker, Director of Field Documentation for Wild Horse Freedom Federation, and Charlotte Rowe, founder of Wild Equid League of Colorado and science advisor to the Clapp Foundation. Charlotte Rowe had a career working for the State Department, and prior to that, Charlotte was a founding member of the National Organization for Women and served on its executive board. For the past 30 years, Carol Walker has photographed wildlife all over the world, and Carol began photographing wild horses about 12 years ago and has followed herds in Wyoming, Colorado, and Montana. Carol's work in photography and with wild horses was featured in the February 2017 issue of Horse Illustrated. Carol has published 3 award-winning books and also produces the annual calendar for Wild Horse Freedom Federation with photographs featuring different herds each year. Welcome to the show, Charlotte and Carol.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi, Charlotte. Carol, to start off with, can you talk about the recent roundups of wild horses?
Yes, Deb. So this fall, we knew that there was going to be a huge push in the BLM rounding up as many horses as they possibly could. And just last week, on August 8th, they concluded the Bible Springs Complex Sulphur Herd Roundup in Utah. And they rounded up and removed 280 horses and managed to kill 4 horses. And they also ran horses through a barbed wire fence, which American Wild Horse Campaign has documented. I have actually seen that happen before last year during the checkerboard roundup. And this, lack of care for the well-being and health and survival of wild horses is pretty stunning. And then
who's
things
the contractor?
Got worse.
Who is the contractor?
Sampson.
Springs. Sampson.
Sampson
okay.
is the contractor. Mm-hmm. Then things got worse when they started the roundup in the Red Desert Complex in Wyoming, and they started that roundup back on August 7th, and they have rounded up to this date, as of yesterday, 1,011 horses, and they have had 7 die. And 4 of these were foals that were run to. I was really alarmed when I saw that they mentioned 2 foals died of capture shock. And observers of the roundup had said that the foals were being driven very hard at a very fast pace in extreme heat, weren't able to keep up with their families, and basically they probably died of heat exhaustion. So this is not how you want to treat young foals. And then there was another foal who couldn't keep up with his mother. His mother charged the helicopter to get back to him. They roped the foal. The mare charged the riders. She was really trying to protect the foal, but the foal was so exhausted that once he was back at the short term holding. He was just lying in a heap, and the next day he died. So these foals have been run to death.
Was that on the video that the American Wild Horse
That was on the video.
Team?
That's on the video.
And I saw that mother. Oh, you know, I could barely watch it. I was watching it, and I didn't know if I was going to, like, get sick or cry. I felt both ways. And it's just really inhumane.
Inhumane. And the photographer who did the video, he saw the foal at the holding facility and took pictures of it. And he's like, this foal looks terrible. And apparently the contractor said, oh, he's fine, he's fine. And the next morning the foal was dead. So
yeah,
this is not how you want to treat young foals. And there's no excuse for it. Why would you need to run them at such a high pace that the foals can't keep up? You know, and every roundup I've attended, usually they're roping at least one foal that hasn't kept up. But I've never seen this many foal deaths. There was another foal that broke its leg.
And really driving them. You know, when I saw this video today, they should have just backed off. The horse was obviously very upset, you know, trying to protect the foal. They should have backed off. They don't.
There was
need,
no excuse
do they need
for
one
it.
Mare and one foal that badly that they're going to, you know, kill them, basically? And I was surprised that the mare wasn't injured, too. Did they rope her? It looked like they roped her, too, and pulled her down.
They roped her as well, yes, yes.
Yeah, and pulled her down. It, it was horrible.
So it's been horrible, and they, interestingly enough, they were originally going to take 2,600 horses out of this out of these five herd management areas, and I heard that they are going to stop the roundup in 2 or 3 days because they are only authorized right now to remove 1,400 horses because there isn't room for them in long-term holding. As far as I know, they're going to stop in a couple days, but they may not. I mean, they may continue. They may find a place to put them. And certainly one of the things that we've seen is that the BLM is determined now to empty the holding facilities so that they can fill them up with horses being brought in with roundups right now. So do you want me to talk about the new policy?
Yeah, well, sure. I wanted to say something about the big picture behind the roundups. I mean, the whole premise of the roundups is that the BLM screams that there is overpopulation of wild horses in burros. We know that that is based on very dodgy population counts, but their whole goal is to take all the wild horses in burros in the West down to you know, from about 77,000, which they estimate there are left in the wild, down to about 26,000. And that number was just about the same number that was estimated to exist in 1971 when the Wild Horse and Burro Act was passed unanimously by Congress in order to keep them from disappearing from the West. So what they are about is taking them down to extinction. And in Wyoming alone, you know, before these roundups, the average acreage per wild horse is 1,022 acres per horse. That is not overpopulation. The whole premise of the BLM is to rid the public lands of the horses pretty much so they can fill them with livestock and control the public lands for commercial interests. So
for our newer listeners, you know, privately owned livestock on public grazing on public lands far outnumber the few wild horses that are left. And the Bureau of Land Management's which is BLM for short, if you're listening to the show and this is your first time hearing about this. The BLM's population modeling, you know, most foals, they count the foals that are born and they say there's a 20% increase. Well, they're not really, foals don't live past 1 year in the wild very often. So it might be a 5% increase from foals, 5 to 10%, not, you know, or maybe 10%, you know, somewhere in that range, not 20%. And just their whole population modeling is flawed. So their estimates are really bogus.
Just looking at the difference in 2017, for example, there's a statistics that were put up by a group called We Are of One Blood. It's a wildlife advocacy group that takes BLM statistics and does charts with them. And in 2017, the BLM estimated 72,674 wild horses and burros. At the same time, they had 11 million, nearly 12 million livestock out there. Mm-hmm. And the livestock, they only count the cow and the calf as one, or the sheep and the baby as one.
So it could be 24 million. It could be 24 million compared to
horses.
Yeah.
Count. One, they count the foal and the mare. So that's the difference. It's many, many times. And also the livestock is on, they graze on 24% of the public land, and the horses get only 6% of the public land.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Carol, do you want to tell us about the BLM's recent change in the policy on sales for wild horse and burros?
Yes, sure. So earlier this year, the BLM released their plan that they wanted to reduce the numbers of wild horses in holding facilities, and they wanted to kill quite a few of them. And they realized shortly that this wasn't going to happen because of the public outcry and because of Congress wasn't going to go along with their plans. So they thought, well, how can we get around this? So in May, May 24th, they issued this instruction memorandum, which is a guidance for the sale of excess wild horses and burros. And basically, it's a change in policy. It used to be that you could purchase up to four either over 11 or horses that had been offered for adoption three times unsuccessfully. You could buy up to four of them at a time without getting approval through DC. Now you can buy 25 at a time without
24.
Getting approval.
Up to 24.
No, it's actually, I just looked at it and it says
okay.
25. So 25 per person per day. So this is a recipe to put horses on trucks and send them to slaughter, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
want to empty the holding facilities of the horses so that they can reduce the numbers of horses on the range. They'd like to get 50,000 horses in, but currently the holding facilities are full with 45,000 wild horses and burros in holding facilities. So they
mm-hmm,
really
mm-hmm.
like to empty the holding facilities and get these horses in. And the reason that for the limit of four per day that was the original guidelines was because Tom Davis actually sent 1,700 wild horses to slaughter. And
almost
this was supposed to,
yeah.
This was supposed to be a stopgap on that, because if you could only get four, you weren't going to, the idea was it wasn't going to be as worthwhile to start shipping them to slaughter. But now,
right.
you know, all bets are off here.
Well, the Tom Davis thing, Davis, by the way, was a Colorado rancher. And
yes.
Between 2008 and 2012, he was shipping horses to slaughter. And the BLM, meanwhile, he was buying them for $10 each, and the BLM paid like $140,000 to deliver the horses to him.
Yes,
against,
they delivered them to him.
As the
mm-hmm.
advocates who knew what was going on. So there was an
yes.
Inspector General report, and Tom Davis admitted that he did sell them to slaughter, even though he had to sign when he got them and say they're going to go to a good home. So the new policy the Obama administration, you know, put in the policy that you could only get four at a time because of that. And the new policy, if you buy, you know, these 24 of 25 horses, you do sign something saying they're not going to be sold for commercial processing or something. But there is no oversight. There are no questions asked. There's no tracking. And so,
and the horses lose all their protection once they are sold.
Bad for a
they
lot
lose
of reasons.
All their protection.
Not only, slaughtered.
Well,
yeah.
And what's really troubling now is the BLM is combined sales and adoption application. In other words, there won't be an application for adoptions and then a separate application for sales. They're going to combine them. And what this is going to do, it's going to actually a way for the BLM to bury how many wild horses and burros will actually be sold in its record keeping, because it'll just show, you know, titled or something. So, you know, it's a way for them to, so that we can't find out, well, how many did they sell? How many did they adopt? It's a, you know, they'll go, oh, we don't know, because it's a combined application. It's for both. So that's something. And what really troubles me is I went on the BLM website today to look at the instruction memorandums, to look at this instruction memorandum 2018-066, and it was supposedly the second thing on there, one of the attachments, was this adoption application, and you could not click on it. You could click on the other two attachments, the general guidelines and something else, but there was no adoption application on there. So from other FOIA records we got, we have discovered that they're working on this combined sales and adoption application as we speak. So,
does everybody
right.
know
also,
what a FOIA application is, all the listeners?
Oh, Freedom of Information
need to
Act. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you. It's a Freedom of Information Act request. And we've been filing a lot of them, trying to find out what's really going on. And another thing, the BLM's Adoption Incentive Program, where they want to give individuals $1,000 for us, I think that may be launching this month, and it may mean that the $1,000 incentive may be $500 after they pick up the horse and then $500 after the titling. I'm not sure. These were just discussions we saw in some Freedom of Information Act records.
Wow. So I've got a question about the combined adoption and sale form. Wouldn't that make what BLM is doing completely illegal? Because in the Wild Horse and Burro Act, you know, the limit of four horses per adopter is in the Act. The limit
no,
for
no,
horses
I don't think
in the
it's
Act.
Not
the
no.
Limit.
It's not
that was a policy. That was a policy. That was an instruction memorandum. That was a policy. It's not in the Act.
After Tom Davis. After Tom Davis, it was a response to that. It was not
mm-hmm.
part of the Wild Horse and Burro Act.
Yeah. They did that, what was it, in
2014, I believe.
2014, yeah. So that was in instruction memorandum 2014-132. Where they said they were going to limit it to four horses or burros per person during a six-month time period. And now someone can go in and buy 24 horses one day, 24 horses the next day, 24 horses the day after that, into infinity, no limit. So, and there's, you know, the BLM, it's not that they've adopted, you know, so many horses. I think their adoptions and sales came to about a little over 3,000 in 2017. So, they know if they can't get them adopted with all the, you know, millions of dollars they give to Mustang Heritage Foundation and all that, you know, if they can only adopt 3,000 horses a year, you think they don't know that this many horses aren't going to be going to slaughter? I mean, it's common.
Well, there's
brands.
Another concern with what they're doing with allowing, you know, allowing people to buy horses by the truckload for $25 each. And if they go ahead with this adoption incentive, both things, or either one by itself, are going to ruin a lot of rescues, because the rescue organizations, the shelters, they take in horses, including wild horses and burros, and they have to invest a lot in their rehabilitation, in their training, so they can't have people adopting at 25 each, and a lot of them mm-hmm. are having a hardship at this time, because there's an mm-hmm. awful lot of people who are surrendering their own private horses and donkeys.
Well,
to rescue.
It's already flooding the market. You know, we've heard from you know, our friends at Equine Welfare Alliance and their investigators that a lot of burros are showing up down at Eagle Pass, and you know, so there's still a lot of activity.
Right, and you have the trade going on, the Chinese trade in Ijiao, which is donkey hide gel.
Yeah.
So
the
value of donkey hide is increased 4 times, and so the Chinese, who kill millions of their own donkeys each year, are going around the world trying.
Yeah, they're decimating them worldwide. Yeah.
Yeah, they're worth more dead than alive in that trade. So that is a huge concern.
So the other issue, of course, is that the BLM not only wants to get rid of all these horses by rounding them up and then getting the holding facilities cleared. The other issue is what they want to do is sterilize the remaining herds, and then we will have herds decline in population and become extinct. So
they want to make non-reproducing herds, which this is, I think, in violation of the act. They're supposed to be protecting these animals, and they're killing them off. This is just horrible.
Yes.
I also wanted to get into this new, the archaic sterilization procedure. For our new listeners that don't know anything about this, the BLM, and we'll talk more about recent developments, just to explain what the procedure is, they want to do sterilizations on mares, many of them pregnant mares, doing a procedure called ovarectomy via colpotomy. And this involves the vet inserting his or her arm into the mare's vaginal cavity. The vet feels around, and for what he hopes are the ovaries. He makes blind incisions, then inserts a long metal rod called a crassier, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, with a chain attached to one end, which crushes and rips out the ovaries, what they hope are the ovaries. They can also feel fecal matter in an intestine nearby, and you know, that would be bad. The horse would bleed to death. But even in a strictly controlled veterinarian hospital with domesticated mares, the procedure is considered inferior and antiquated because it puts the animals at a high risk of bleeding and infection from the vaginal incision, which cannot be cauterized. Also, the mares face a high risk from colic, as they will not have access to food for 24 to 36 hours prior to the surgery. But basically, ripping out a mare's ovaries can cause hemorrhaging, evisceration, great distress, intestinal trauma, and the majorities of the mares to be selected for this experiment are pregnant, and many of them will lose their fetuses. So it's just, you know, there's no sense to this.
And the wild mares will probably, many of them, go into shock. They are already panicked and terrorized because they're not used to being handled, and they're planning on doing procedures in the field or in filthy holding facilities, which are not
safe. Yeah. And massive. Their plan is to do massive sterilizations, like to use this, you know, as a population control. So they want to do massive numbers of sterilizations. And, we've all seen one veterinarian
in
Oregon, Leon Peelstick, has done a lot of the experiments so far. But, you know, the one experiment he did, they only checked on the horses for 24 hours or something before they released them. I forget which year that was. So they don't really know that their information is inaccurate. Like, they don't know what happened to all those horses. They can't tell you. Charlotte, can you tell us about the reason the BLM is giving to use this archaic procedure on the wild horses and burros? Like, why are they doing this quote unquote research?
First of all, let me explain how this came up. The BLM made a report to Congress in March of this year, and the 4 options they proposed for what they call population suppression all include sterilization. And Chris Stewart, who is a longtime horse hater from Utah, got an amendment.
Representative.
Yeah, he's a Republican, although this is not particularly a partisan issue, or it didn't used to be, he got an amendment passed in the spending bill for the next fiscal year that was passed by the House of Representatives. So this is a real and present danger. And, you know, Colorado
and
State University.
And just so people know, Representative Chris Stewart is up for re-election this year, so you might want to look into who his opponent is.
Vote him out.
I'm just
vote
saying, vote him out. Yeah.
Well, the BLM had proposed to do a massive sterilization experiment on wild mares from the Warm Springs herd in Utah, and they were going to do this with Colorado State University. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but the reasons they claim that this procedure had to be the choice is, well, first of all, they reject the non-invasive alternative for birth control, which is PCP, because they said most of the horses aren't approachable, and they claim it hasn't been effective, blah, 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 which is what they've always said. But they really like this procedure because it's cheap, they think, and especially fast. They claim it could be done at 15 minutes a horse, the surgical part. And they reject the more low risk, which they admit is a low risk alternative for surgery, which would be laparoscopy using a flank incision. Why? Because it would take over 45 minutes. And it's just that's how they go. They reject anything else but what they want to do, which is kind of like a factory-style mutilation of wild mares. And this is what we consider to be animal abuse on a really large scale. And thankfully, the Colorado State University finally, I think, recognized how not only how risky this would be, but how horribly controversial.
Yeah, they were all in it,
and they just pulled out this month, just last week, formally. And we need to thank everybody who got involved in that, every single group and every individual who took action, who shared information about it, who wrote letters and called. And it really shows that kind of concerted action can do a lot when you think when you think you're on a really uphill battle. Sometimes you just don't know. You can win them.
And this whole, you know, issue of fertility control, the BLM, the other thing they're avoiding is reducing privately owned livestock grazing pretty much on public lands. That's still rampant even when they're removing the horses. Or when there's droughts. The privately owned livestock is still there. And also, many of our new listeners I'm getting some reverb here on my end, that they've taken half the land away from the area that the wild horses and burros were found in 1971. So they put them on less area, and they're just doing away with them. Marty, can you still hear me? Hello?
I can hear you, Deb, just fine.
Okay.
I heard that for a second, but it's fine now.
Okay. I just want to remind everybody, it's about halfway through the show, so if anyone wants to call, we're going to keep talking, but if anyone wants to call in with any comments or questions, just dial 917-388-4520 and then press 1. So Charlotte, let's see. I think.
Deb,
Northlander complex.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Yeah. Basically, even though CSU withdrew from this study of Warm Springs, there is still a study coming up that the BLM would like to do in Wyoming's Northlander complex. And basically, this is 4 wild horse herds: Conant Creek, Dishpan Butte, Muskrat Basin, and Rock Creek herd management areas. And they're on 380,000 acres of public land. And the BLM only allows 320 to 536 wild horses on the whole area. And they want to remove at least 588 of the 1,124 wild horses that they counted. Basically, they did a scoping document listing all the kind of the soup kitchen approach. They want to throw out there trying all sorts of different things. They want to create sterilized and or limited reproducing herds, and they want to use spaying mares. They want to geld stallions, and they would like to segregate the horses into same-sex herds. They also talked about using Gonicon, a birth control drug that has been largely untested as far as long-term safety and efficacy with wild horses. And they would like to do this in January of 2019. And the field spaying of mares, as we've been talking about, is going to produce infections, suffering, and death. And the spaying and gelding will destroy the wild nature and the behaviors of the horses. And they and the sterilization itself will we will end up with genetically unviable herds. And then finally, the herds will cease to exist. Once you have a sterile herd, once the horses die, they're not reproducing. So this is a really horrible thing, and this is still on the table. This has not been this has not been retired.
Yeah, I think we have a caller calling with a question. Marty, do we have someone on the line?
Yes, we do. Area code 530. You're live and on the air.
Hi, great show. I've got probably several things to bring up. First, I thought the Senate said no to sterilizations.
No, the Senate has not. They have not. So we have the House bill and we have the Senate bill, and they have to reconcile the two bills and do a final bill and then vote on that. That has not happened yet.
Okay.
Sterilization
as far as
is not off the table. They're not. It's not off the table yet.
Okay. I found the two senators from Oregon to be very receptive to giving them the information about the false documentation of the false numbers, population numbers, and also about the white paper. They're very interested in that. So as far as the Burns, Oregon sterilizations, I believe those two, Senator Merkley and then Senator Wyden, should have all the information possible. And then another thing, policies are, they're documents, they're not law. Policy, I don't believe, I don't know whether that's really been brought up in court, but I don't believe a policy can trump law. And when the policy flies in the face and against law, it seems that that could really be under a judge that's going to actually come down on the law would stop it. And
Sherry, stay on the line. Okay, stay on the line. And then let me get the – I think we've had two other callers call in. Let's let them ask a question. And then after they go, you can ask another one. Okay, Marty, next person.
X area code 775. You're live and on the air.
Hello.
Hello, yes. This is Craig Downer. And
hi,
Hi, Craig.
Yeah, it's infuriating to have this spelled out, and I sure admire everyone that's fighting this. I wanted to say earlier on someone said that the livestock only graze on 24% of the public lands. That's way low. I think they graze on more like 90% or something, 95%. They're on the majority of the public lands. And I've been on a lot of these herd areas. Matter of fact, I was just in two additional ones. And there's also, I mean, they're basically all over the HMA. And they're even there out of season. They don't seem to, the BLM and the Forest Service don't do a good job at policing their schedules permittees. So it seems like the wild horse program is being run by the enemies of the wild horses and burros. So I think that's
Craig, stay on the line.
Yeah.
Craig, stay on the line. We have two other callers, so stay on the line.
Yeah.
And then if
I wanted to make that point. It's a lot more than 24%. Probably
okay,
at least
thank you, Craig.
Time.
Okay, next caller, Marty.
Area code 303. You're live and on the air.
Hello? Hello?
They might have given up waiting. All right, let's go to area code 540.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, this is Brittany from... Hello?
Hi, Brittany.
Hi. This is more of an alert than it is a question, but I've heard about the radio collar study in the, I believe it was Adobe Town, but
yes.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this because I tried looking on your blog and I couldn't find anything. But my dad and I recently went down to the Lake Pleasant HMA, and there is currently a radio collar study being done on some of the mares or some of the Jennies in the Lake Pleasant area. And
okay.
I wasn't aware of this, and
on wild burros.
I didn't think of, at least not. Yeah, I wasn't aware that the burros in the Lake Pleasant herd management area were being given the radio collar study.
I'll ask Marjorie
okay.
about it. Our director of wild burro affairs. I'll ask
Marjorie yeah.
about it, and then. We'll try and answer that question on the next show or underneath the comments under the radio show.
Just wanted to comment on that. Very
disturbing.
Somebody that has
something?
Seen an environmental assessment on that, and the Lake Pleasant area, and doing that on burros, you know, can be really tricky. The Lake Pleasant area is also a place where I believe somebody shot some of the wild burros.
Yeah.
That's in Arizona.
Mark, do we have another caller?
Yes.
Area
code 303. We'll try you again.
Okay. Thanks, Brittany. Thanks, Brittany. Okay.
Hello, nothing from area codes. Yeah, we're not yet
okay,
picking
I'm
up anything.
Some background sound from one of our
yeah.
callers. So maybe cut off Craig and Sherry. They can call back in if they want to. But we're getting a lot
okay.
of background noise. Yeah, I can't
okay.
hear anything.
There's no background noise here for me.
Okay.
Okay, there.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of it. Okay. Charlotte, you mentioned something that the BLM needed to do an environmental impact statement, an EIS, for its plans to do sterilizations. Can you tell us a little more about that they didn't do an EIS?
Well, yeah, but just for the listeners that aren't aware of the National Environmental Policy Act, you know, any federal action that impacts the environment, you know, has to have an environmental review, and there's several tiers of that. One is a categorical exclusion that, you know, exempts from the review a whole category if they think there can be no significant impact on the human environment. And by the way, we have heard that the Trump administration is trying, that there's a move afoot to exempt all wild horse and burro activities under a categorical exclusion. I don't have more information on that at this point, but that's something to watch. The next
mm-hmm,
tier
mm-hmm,
is
right.
assessment.
Yeah, go ahead.
It means a formal review of the potential impacts. And then the most comprehensive would be an environmental impact statement, and it has a lot of stages. It requires public hearings. It has to have a real thorough look at alternatives, and
mm-hmm.
anything that involves sterilization, especially like the Warm Springs proposed spaying and the North Lander, would trigger an environmental impact statement because
mm-hmm.
under
mm-hmm.
the rules, anything that's highly controversial, and this certainly
mm-hmm.
is, it's opposed by the public. It's been rejected on two occasions now with the Oregon State University in 2016 and Colorado State University now. All kinds of equine vets and scientific expert opinions have weighed in, and the National Academy of Sciences says
mm-hmm.
that it has
mm-hmm.
no merit and it would be harmful to wild mares. And
mm-hmm.
anything that is a precedent for future actions with significant impacts, and that is certainly the case because the BLM, you know, after doing these studies, plans to implement them wholesale in all the herds they can. Anything that has cumulative impacts, anything that threatens a violation of law for environmental protection, and that is certainly the case because the Wild Horse Act says that the whole point is to protect the wild horses and burros from killing and harassment and actions that could harm their free-roaming behavior. And
mm-hmm.
it also says that management has to be at a, quote, minimum feasible level. Well, the purpose of the whole CSU study was going to be for people to quantify how severe the harm was going to be to those wild mares, the amount of pain they were feeling.
Yeah, it's horrible.
How many
it's like a torture thing.
How many had complications or died. So all of that would have triggered, would have needed to trigger an environmental impact assessment. And,
and as we all remember from the Oregon, BLM Oregon video that's on YouTube showing Dr. Peelstick, you know, using that overarachnoid vehiclopotomy on that mare, once previously wild mare is what they called it. You know, even though they gave her, they really only give them minimal sedation and painkillers. So you could see the horse was uncomfortable. You know, it's not like they don't feel anything. They're not anesthetized. The horse is conscious while they're doing it. So
right, and also a wild horse, by nature, they're not going to show. They're going to be pretty stoical. They're not going to show the amount of pain that they're feeling because the nature is, if you really show the distress you're in, you're going to be more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So
any
wild animal is going to be stoical. It's going to be very hard for any observer to be able to, you know, measure the amount of pain they really feel.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, the admits, these are very risky and potentially painful procedures. That's give them pain medication.
Yeah. I want to hop back to talking about the planned sterilizations on the Northlander complex because, you know, I just want to bring up one thing. Oil and gas leases on the HMAs, there's a lot of them on the HMA, herd management areas for the wild horses and burros in Wyoming. Just a lot. They were, you know, when I look at the oil and gas lease sales, if they're not already there, they're selling the rest of the land. So I've actually done overlay maps because I've been curious about it. So you see how other uses that make money, that's part of the driving force to get rid of the wild horses. You know, they don't want to slow down the trucks or anything else, I guess, or notice any water contamination if it happens. So that's one thing.
Right.
And also, you know, getting back to talking about selling horses in such huge amounts, our newer listeners may not realize the BLM has had another change in policy and that they want to ship our wild horses and burros overseas. They want to sell brood mares to Guyana, starting out with 40 or 50 Mustang mares to start out with, want to relocate much larger numbers later on to an area with jaguars that regularly kill cattle and horses. They want them, the BLM has been considering plans to sell them to Russia. You know, and we found out that not only would they be on a Siberian tiger refuge, because when this idea was floated years ago, they didn't want to do it then because, you know, they knew they were going to be prey for Siberian tigers. And, you know, this group's led by Lon Ball and this Chinese group, they still keep coming back to the BLM with this plan. And apparently the BLM was very receptive to it because Lon Ball stated that they were coming to him now. And the bad thing about it, besides the 2 week, horrible weeks on a ship it would take to get over there if they survived that, the Russians actually admitted they would need to slaughter some of the horses to pay for food or transportation for the rest of them. And they also talked about the way they'd convince the Russian government to do this would be to say they could, the wild horses could be used as food for the Russian army in case of a famine. So this is not what
and
we want for our wild horses and burros.
And, Deb, wasn't the $1,000 they were going to pay to people to take the horses, wouldn't that pay for the ship ride over to Russia?
Well, I'm sure it would help. Yeah, because if you're shipping 40, say if you're shipping 100 horses, that's $100,000. So, yeah, it might be. I'm not sure.
And they were
what the
talking about
cost.
Taking thousands. They were talking about taking
thousands. Yeah, they wanted to take all
40,000.
Yeah, Lon Ball brought up all the horses in holding, which would be over 40,000, and burros. Well, there's no burros in long-term holding.
There's no
burros. There's in short-term holding. Yeah. What can our listeners do to help save the wild horses and burros?
Deb, the most important thing for people to do is to be in contact with their senators and representatives. And before the appropriations bill is passed, the 2019 appropriations bill, which should go into effect October 1st, but as we know from last year, we can have continuing resolutions. But the House and Senate still have to have their joint, the once they get the bill that they're, the final bill that they're going to vote on. So we need to keep saying to our senators, thank you for protecting our wild horses and burros. Please keep doing that. And we'd also, we don't want sterilization to be allowed for our wild horses and burros. So this
and we also
very,
don't want them sold. We also don't want them
overseas.
Sold overseas. We don't want them
and we
sold
don't
in
want
large
them sold
numbers.
To slaughter. And we
yeah.
don't want them
yeah.
sold in large numbers. Yes, to
mm-hmm.
slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing that can be done is well, make sure everybody votes and
yes.
everybody. You know, we'll find out that in their states, there are some candidates running for office that are new. And, you know, for example, in Colorado, we have a great champion of wild horses and burros, Jared Polis, who
mm-hmm.
Now running for governor. So that opens his seat in the House of Representatives to a very competitive election. So it's really key to find out what are the candidates' positions. Just get
yeah.
it in writing if you can. Get letters to the editor. It's amazing how many people don't even know there are wild horses, much less the things that are going to pass that could, you know, put them out of business completely. And
mm-hmm.
and there are lawmakers who are clueless about what spaying means. For example, you know, when this was discussed in the House of Representatives, one lawmaker who from Minnesota who should know better claimed it was the same as spaying cats and dogs. So there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of education work to
and
do.
And it's not, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I would also recommend contacting all the rescue groups in your area and letting them know about how dangerous this new BLM policy is so that they can get engaged too. I mean, we have to multiply our efforts, and that's one good place to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we still might have Sherry on. Marty, do we still have Sherry on or Craig if they wanted to make one more comment before?
I'm still on, Craig.
Okay.
Oh, did you have any other comments you wanted to make, Craig?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned about the exemption of the wild horse, this program being exempt from NEPA. Well, they've also introduced a bill to exempt the entire public lands livestock grazing permittees from NEPA review. That was also
wow.
a bill. So
well,
they
that's
just,
sort of a
they, want to let public lands ranchers do what they want, police themselves.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
outrageous.
Yeah.
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 I've
addition
got something
to
add.
There's also an effort to revise the whole National Environmental Policy Act in a bad way. And that
mm-hmm.
there's a comment period that is open for that. It was extended until August 20th, and that's coming up right away. So that's
oh, yeah,
we're
trying to get something up about that, yeah.
I want to comment
on
that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to mention that people that are phone talkers, what I found was by calling the different senators and representatives, if you call their local offices and talk to the people working there, I have gotten the ear of people from back east, some of the senators from east of the Rockies, and they don't know a lot, and they're interested. And then you can follow up, and oftentimes, not always, but they will give you their emails. Maybe some of the interns will give you their email address. So when you're not a resident of that state, and you know, often they won't even take, you can't even put in in the message box if you don't have a zip code from their state, you've got a direct line right into that senator, and then you can get the information right in their hands. And I found that that's really important. First off, they need to know that the numbers are false, that they're being given false information by the Bureau of Land Management, and that they also need to know, and that's what I've talked to senators and congressmen from back east, and on the phone when you talk to their rep, you know, whoever answers the phone or whoever's ear you can get, that they don't know what they stand to lose. So try to get a hold of somebody. Okay, that's
okay.
All I got to say.
Thanks, Sherry. I think we have another caller. Marty, do we have another caller?
Yes, area code 954. You're live and on the air.
Hello.
Hi. You answered most of my questions because I wanted to know exactly what to do. But something else that I have been wondering, I've seen various statements that livestock outnumber the wild horses 50 to 1, 100 to 1. When I talk to these offices, you know, the senators or representatives, I'd like to, like, give them that information, but I can't do it if the number keeps changing. I just...
Mm-hmm. Well, I think American Wild Horse Campaign did something based on... you know, there's a really good website called The Daily Pitchfork. Journalist Vicki Eckhoff spent a lot of work and time putting it together, so she would have the exact numbers and where she got the statistics from so that journalists could look at it. If you give my producer, Marty, your email address, I'll send you that link so that you can pass that along. And,
okay,
and
thanks.
She talks about how she came up with the number. So just when you get off the air, Marty, please get this email address, and then I'll answer you privately after. Well, we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left in the show. I'd like to let Carol and Charlotte, if there's anything they forgot to bring up, go ahead and bring it up now. And thanks to all of our callers for calling in with so many questions and comments. Charlotte, do you want to? Is there anything else you wanted to mention while we've got a few minutes?
Well,
sounds like another caller.
Yeah, we've got one more caller. Okay. Okay, Marty, we have another caller.
Okay, area code 919. You're live and on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Trixie Perry. I live in North Carolina. I'm new to the program. Hi. I'm new to the program, but I am in animal rescue. Dogs and cats, do animal transport. I'm a big animal advocate and have always loved horses. And I feel this is just egregious, this whole program, and it sickens me.
We all feel the same way.
How much money, does anybody have an estimate, how much money either the cattlemen's associations or the ranchers' associations, how much money is appropriated to their lobbyists? I was just curious.
Probably a
Any
lot.
Idea.
We don't have the exact numbers, but they're very.
But it's one of
they
the
carry a lot
it's
of.
It's one of the biggest.
Power.
Yeah,
it's
if actually that's a really good
in Congress.
Because lots of times the friends of the BLM claim that the advocates are, you know, making money off of this. Most of the advocate organizations are run by volunteers, and. There's a group called the National Wild Horse and Burro Rangeland Management Coalition that basically is the propaganda arm of the BLM. And if you look at their membership, it's 20 organizations. It includes, you know, the Cattlemen's Association, the Sheep Herders, the Farm Bureau Federation. They
the
have
hunters,
millions,
yeah.
billions of dollars, and practically they write the whole BLM's website. If you look at their stuff, everything that they put out is echoed in the BLM. They say that the wild horses aren't native. They claim they're overpopulating. They're ruining the rangeland. You would think
they were. They complain about the money and holding while privately owned
right,
livestock.
Right.
You know,
so,
costing actually the taxpayers more money. Yeah.
That's a really good question, but. I can tell you they have huge lobbies, and both at a local level and at the national level. And,
well,
and wanted to say that the,
voices.
The caller who suggested calling the local offices of your senators and representatives, even when you're not in their district, that's a great idea because when you get their emails, you can not only send a letter to the congressman that way, but also you can attach documents that back up what we're saying. And there's about 110 organizations that signed a document called Moving Forward that presents a lot of alternative approaches for humane management of wild birds on the range. And there's other
Federation presented a document too with a lot of organizations. So there's a couple of those. Also, we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon. We've only got five minutes left. So, but thank you. That's a great question. And thanks for calling in. I want to thank all our callers for calling in. It's fun to have people call in with comments and questions. So we do, because of this appropriations bill that still has to be passed, we do still need people to call and write your congressional representatives. Feel free to, you can go to American Wild Horse Campaign and look at their website to see those videos of the roundups. You can go to Wild Horse
and they also
Freedom
have,
Federation.
Yeah, they also have a petition up about the roundups right now. That just came out.
Good.
So if you want to sign a petition about the roundups and what has happened to the foals, please go to their website. But then
you can also
go to our website.
You can also look at the Cloud Foundation's website. They have quite a bit of information. And the Animal Welfare Institute, AWI, is getting really active on this. They put out a really good alert.
Yeah.
The letter you can send to the BLM about this new sale by the truckload policy, and that is worth taking a look at as well.
Yeah, and also Wild Horse Freedom Federation, we spent years putting together a white paper that we put out last summer, and we published last summer, and there's a link online to both the white paper and the exhibits. If you go to Wild Horse Freedom Federation at the top bar, you can look on that, because as you see all these congressmen, not only are they giving false information about overpopulation, they're also complaining about this money that's being spent on horses in holding, wild horses in holding, in burrows and holding facilities. And we went to over half of the long-term holding facilities, and there weren't nearly the number of horses there that are being claimed are there. So they're paying for, I don't know what, air on the grass. There's horses there. We're going to have to start wrapping up. I want to thank Charlotte and Carol for being on the show tonight and for all the work you're both doing to help save our wild horses and burros. Our guests next week are going to be documentary filmmaker James Kleinert, who has also been at the roundups, and I received an email from him today and, you know, just saying how horrible it was at the roundups, the way they're treating the horses. And he's going to be on along with Kurt Brungart, and they'll be talking about a new film they co-wrote called Disappointment Valley, a modern-day Western. So be sure and tune in next week, too. I'd like to thank my producer, Marty Oakley, for donating her time to do Wild and Horse and Burro Radio. There's other radio shows on TS Radio, including a show called Whistleblowers, hosted by Marty Oakley on Thursday nights. Marty was recently on a panel at the National Whistleblowers Conference in Washington, D.C., and you can see her. We always hear her in the background, but you can see a video from this on the PPJ Gazette. It's very interesting, so I encourage people to go see what Marty's doing when she's not helping us out with the wild horses and burros all the time. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us tonight and for all that you do on behalf of the wild horses and burros. And please keep it up. Be sure to call, to write, to vote. And I think we've got like maybe a minute and a half left, so I'll give about 30 seconds to Carol and then 30 seconds to Charlotte, and then we'll wrap it up. Carol?
Yeah, I just really want to underline that people need to be in contact with their senators and with their representatives and get out and vote. Get informed about what the candidates' views are on wild horses and burros, educate them, and get out and vote. That's very, very important.
Okay, Charlotte, you got about 20 seconds.
No, I would just second what Carol said. Vote, educate, and inform, and keep after your representatives in Congress.
Yeah, and that check our websites, because we'll give you action alerts and when we need you to help. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and good night, everyone. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.